Now, the Burlington Area School District has until May 9th to submit a corrective action plan to the Department of Public Instruction. It must remedy a racially hostile environment following investigation of at least 19 incidents of racial harassment in district records spanning 2016 through last year. We're talking about this on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. What do you think schools and districts must do to root out racism? It's 800-642-1234. Darnisha Garbati is president of the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism. She filed a complaint with DPI in response to the racism her two children faced as students in the Burlington schools. Darnisha, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Well, give us some historical context, if you will. Tell us about what your girls experienced in Burlington schools.
Some of the things they experienced were, being called the N-word on a regular basis. Students would yell it as they would be walking through the hallways, or if they would be sitting in class, they would be saying the N-word. Jokes would be being made. For example, people are like jelly beans. Nobody likes the black ones. Mm. My youngest daughter had been spit on more than once. She had been pushed down the stairs. She had a tooth knocked out. She had been falsely accused by two different principals, one of which accused her of plotting to shoot up the school when she brought a clear and orange toy gun to school on show and tell day when she was just 9 years old. She's been falsely detained in the principal's office. And those are just some of the ways that the racism showed up. But there's many more, and not just my children, but other children of color within the district as well.
You listed so many complaints for your two daughters in this 3-year period that you ran out of room on the district's formal complaint form. Shouldn't that have been a red flag for the district that something was very wrong here?
Most definitely. I think there should have been an indication to the district long before I filed the discrimination complaint that something was really wrong. Right when, Principal Jacqueline Science at Winkler accused my daughter of bringing a BB gun to school when it was really just a toy gun, and, telling her stories of black children being murdered by police officers in an attempt to railroad her into admitting that she was planning to shoot up the school. I think at that very moment, the school district should have been aware that something was really wrong.
You sent a lot of emails. He exchanged a lot of emails with district officials about these incidents and the climate at school. Did you ever at any point believe you were making inroads, that you were making progress, or did you feel like you were not being heard or not being believed?
Initially, I felt very optimistic. I thought that the school district would take my complaints very seriously. And in almost all of the incidents, there was the evidence to prove what I was saying. So when my daughter was spit on and ultimately lost a tooth, there was video footage. There was video footage of students repeatedly yelling the N-word on the school bus in the presence of my other daughter. There was video footage of most of the email complaints that I had sent. And so the fact that my pleas were ignored, the fact that I was given the runaround, I wasn't told how to file a discrimination complaint. The school just completely disregarded what I was saying and showed no empathy or any concern at all for what my children was going through. I knew right away what was going on.
How did your girls describe these incidents to you? What were those conversations like, if you would be willing to share?
Absolutely. Most of the time, I didn't find out about these incidents until my children came home from school. The school district never contacted me. Even when my youngest daughter was detained in their office, essentially all day, missing valuable class time, being, mistreated, being put under a cloud of suspicion when they, in fact, were the victims of the racism, while the students who were perpetuating this racism were immediately sent back to class, were not interrogated or anything. And so I often didn't find out about these things till my children came home, even with my daughter getting her tooth knocked out. She was sitting in that office with her mouth bleeding. Nobody rendered her aid or sent her to the nurse's office. They allowed her to finish out the school day, and I didn't find out about it until she got off the school bus later that day, running home crying.
What is the racial breakdown of students in the Burlington Area School District? What is the makeup?
So Burlington as a whole, according to the last census, is 97% white, less than a half percent black, and then a little over 2% of people of color grouped altogether. And so when you talk about the school district, the last time I checked, which was earlier this year or last year, there was only 39 black students in the entire school district. So we're talking, about it being almost a monoethnic school district. I know that the school district recently re released a statement saying that one out of every five students are students of color, but I believe that's a lie. So having 39 black students out of 2,505 white students, those stats are not accurate.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Darnisha Garbati, who's president of the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism. We're talking about her complaints and ultimately filing a complaint with DPI in response to the racism her two children faced as students in Burlington schools over a three-year period. Those incidents reported. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Darnisha, the DPI report found suspension rates for students of color were 25 times higher than for white students. What do you make of that statistic and what your observed experience was with the discipline practices in the schools?
Those statistics are appalling. In the same token, I am not surprised by them. What we see playing out there in Burlington with discipline disparities is something that we see across Wisconsin as a whole and even beyond. Students of color are often disciplined more harshly, which is why the school to prison pipeline is such an issue. With the school district failing to hold white students accountable for the things that they were doing, some of them were even criminal. That they were doing to my children, and yet they didn't even receive, any discipline at all. But then there were times where my daughter was like sitting sideways on the school bus, and the bus driver threatened to give her a ticket. And then the school principal, Mr. Schimmel, called me, and I told him, I said, "Were all the white students sitting sideways on the school bus?" I said, "And if they were, they all need to get a ticket too." And I told him to pull up the video footage. He then changed his mind about giving my daughter a ticket, because he didn't want to send home tickets with all the white students. And so, these things are happening all over. It's not just the Burlington Area School District. Our children are being disciplined more harshly, and white students aren't being held accountable for what they're doing.
Let's bring in a call now. Jacob is joining us from Burlington. Hi, Jacob. What is your experience?
Hi. Yes, I think Darnisha just made the point I mentioned to your call taker that Burlington is a poster child for majority white communities all over the state and majority white school districts all over the state. This is not a unique situation in Burlington. It's just the fact that this is being exposed. I believe this is the underbelly of white racism in our country, and it's being exposed here. But it is no different than school districts across the state and across the country and communities, particularly white majority communities across the state and the country.
Jacob, thank you for that. Darnisha, you're looking at this as well as a much, much larger statewide problem as well.
Absolutely. I have talked to multiple friends, as well as other families whom I have become friends with. And sadly enough, because we've been comparing stories of racism, that's playing out in our school districts amongst our Black and Brown children, this is definitely a common, very, very, very common narrative, you know. That's why so many racial justice organizations exist these days. There's definitely a need for them because of what's happening with our children, you know, from Shorewood to Greendale to Waukesha to Burlington and beyond, you know, and even in Milwaukee, with Milwaukee public schools being predominantly made up of students of color, there's quite a bit of racism playing out there as well. You know, most of the teachers and administrators are white. And that's the problem. That's a part of the problem. A part of the problem is that you see a lack of representation of Black and Brown teachers. In the Burlington Area School District, there's only one Black teacher in the entire school district. And you see a lack of Black and Brown leaders within the schools. So those are just two of the issues that's contributing to the racism that we see playing out on a day-to-day basis.
Let's look more closely at the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction report that came out last week, coming to the conclusion that these complaints are very valid and that the district had created a racially hostile environment. What is your response to the DPI findings?
Overall, I am, really happy about DPI's decision. I'm also saddened by it. I'm sad that it had to come to this. I'm sad that it had to take this long. I'm sad that I had to file so many appeals to get to this point. In the same token, I'm glad that DPI is holding the Burlington Area School District accountable because I think in doing so, it also opens up the door for other school districts to be held accountable. I'm glad that DPI is mandating the school district to come up with a plan within the next 30 days to address this racially hostile learning environment. And I'm hoping that this will put all Wisconsin schools and beyond on notice, that racism will not be tolerated, whether it be from students, staff, administrators, or even board members.
We're talking with Darnisha Garbati, who founded the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism. She's been working to address the racial issues and inequities in the schools there for over a year. Are you the parent of a child of color who's experienced racism at school? Did you report it? What was the outcome? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Darnisha Garbati here on the Ideas Network.
The following segment contains language that some may find offensive.
It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about how to dismantle systemic racism in schools and the actions taken by the Department of Public Instruction to remedy a racially hostile climate in Burlington schools. Darnisha Garbati has been working for years to be heard following the experiences her two kids had and to be a voice for other parents. She's president of the group Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism, and she's with us for 10 more minutes. Darnisha, last year, Burlington School Board, the district school board, late last year adopted an anti-harassment, anti-racism policy. Did this step do anything to get at these underlying problems, that these issues?
No, it didn't. Actually, it made it worse. Because what happened is when they adopted the anti-racism policy, they only adopted about eight sentences of the policy. And let's back up a little bit. So the policy that they ended up adopting, our coalition, the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism, put together a sample anti-racism policy that other school districts were using. And we kind of combined them and put them together, submitted it to the school district for review. They were telling us all along that they would allow us to have a voice and be included in the adoption of an anti-racism, an anti-bullying and anti-harassment policy. When the time came to vote on the policy, the school district actually proceeded without us, never informing us that was the plan. And then they only included 8 sentences of the actual anti-racism policy. And of those 8 sentences, 5 of them were just definitions of racially conscious words. So there was actually only about 3 sentences of the policy included. With that being said, the district essentially just checked off a box just to be able to say that they adopted an anti-racism policy so that they can post it on their website under equity. And even in the DPI complaint, they, you know, mentioned, oh, we adopted an anti-racism policy. And so I think it did more damage than good.
So it sounds like the real work at this really difficult issue, the real work wasn't being done.
Not at all. And you can see that being evidenced throughout DPI's ruling. There's 33 pages. And, you know, you see where the district is saying, OK, we adopted an anti-racism policy. Check. We brought in the National Equity Project. Check. And I think what happened is when the district took on the idea of just doing things just to be able to say that they did things, I think that all it did was covered up what was happening, swept it under the rug, and put them in a position to not actually have to deal with anything. But as we can see, their efforts didn't go very far at all in DPI's ruling of this being a racially hostile learning environment. They started their partnership with the National Equity Project last year. And even since then, people have shown up in virtual classrooms, repeatedly calling students the N-word, you know, and I have video footage of that. And, you know, a student of color was called the N-word by a Burlington High School football player during a game. The words "die, nigger, die" has been spray painted in the middle school on the floor. The words "no niggers" has been etched into.
And it, we do not want to say that word on the air, so please try to do your best not to say that. I want to, Darnisha, ask you, you know, going forward for Burlington Schools, what do you want to see happen here? You know, what could change and make the climate change as well and not be, as I think what I'm hearing from you, window dressing?
Absolutely. And, you know, I apologize for my use of the actual N-word. In the same token, the fact that I can't even say that on air, but children are being called this word every single day, every day. It just further drives home why this is so wrong. And to answer the question you just asked me, I think what the Burlington Area School District and, you know, all school districts can do is diversify the staff, diversify the leadership. We want to see them adopt anti-racism policies and curriculum. We want to see them address the discipline disparities. We want to essentially see them do what they're already doing with white students. What we're asking is to do the same thing for children of color. We're asking them to provide a safe environment. We're asking them to hold people accountable who perpetuate racism, who participate in it, who remain silent in the face of it. We're asking them, instead of overly disciplining Black and brown children, we're asking them to have verbal conversations with them as they do white students. Redirect them, teach them another way, get them counseling services, stop sending them to school police officer liaisons. We're asking them to do things that they're already doing. Let quite a bit of the staff be people of color, like you already currently have staff being white people. Let the administrators be representative of Black and brown bodies. These things aren't hard. We just want for our children the same opportunities that white children are getting. All students should have rights to these things. It's a human rights issue.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Darnisha Garbati, who's president of the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism. And we're talking about the issue in Burlington, but the much broader issue of how to go about dismantling racism. And your response, 800-642-1234. Jack is joining us from Caledonia. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think a big point from the racism thing that is missing is clear ignorance. If you're judging anybody or calling people by their ethnic heritage, it's a sign of ignorance. It's nothing more than that. Okay, and I wish parents would start teaching their kids how to respect others in all aspects of life. And it's just irritating that ignorance is so blissful around in some families. That's all my comments.
Darnisha, can you address that? Is there ignorance here that is underlying this?
I think that in some of the instances, it's definitely ignorance in the fact that it's willful ignorance. I also think that a lot of this racism is blatant, bold, and intentional. I don't think that, you know, it's accidental in almost most of these situations. I think that silence and complacency contributes to it happening even more. I think it thrives and breeds from the lack of addressing it immediately, denouncing it, and making it clear that it won't be tolerated and is not welcome. I think that some of it, you know, stems from unconscious bias and, you know, stereotypes and microaggressions. But I think that there's a hybrid of it. And I think what it's going to take is some inner work, you know, taking a look at ourselves, taking a look at like the superintendent. I've encouraged him and challenged him to start by checking his own bias. You know, I think the school district as a whole should do a climate survey.
Darnisha, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. And thank you for having me here today.
Darnisha Garbati, president of the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism. We're currently setting up a time to talk with Burlington Superintendent Stephen Plank in the coming days. The district released a 2-page statement to the media 1 week ago. The last sentence, it reads, "It has been uncomfortable to realize that even as we try to do our best every day for every student, we need to do better." Just ahead, we talk with two clean water activists about efforts underway to protect water supplies. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.